Honey, we are so happy to be a part of this ministry, sharing in this ministry with you. And not just you, but your dad, your mom, they're volunteers as well. And some of us had an opportunity to go to an event this, about 2 weeks or so ago, a fundraiser for Young Life, which is for high school and college kids and grammar school kids, as well as Young Lives. And the testimonies we heard blew us away. It brought me to tears, quite honestly. And so, our dear sister, we love you, we cherish you. We are so thankful. I'm tearing up, which is good. I'm tearing up because it is good, because you are impacting lives through the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you for being available, and thank you for taking on this work. It is for eternity's purposes and for the Lord Jesus Christ. So we love you and we thank you. So let me just take a second here. Okay, there we go, great. Well, happy Mother's Day. It's a very special day. It is a wonderful day. It is a wonderful day to remember and to give thanks for our mothers, for our spiritual mothers, for our biological mothers, for our grandmothers. Some have had the privilege of having great-grandmothers in their lives, and it is a wonderful day to remember mothers. Mothers are truly a gift from God, and we hope just to encourage you mothers today, both biological and spiritual mothers today, in the things of the Lord. So let's just take a moment, and we'll open up in a word of prayer. Our gracious, loving, heavenly Father, we thank you for our mothers. We thank you for what they mean to us, the memories that we have had with them, and that we still have with them as well. Lord, we thank you for the nurturing care of our mothers. We thank you, Lord, that you have given women the ability to be mothers, Lord, and to strengthen and encourage and influence for good. That is your order. And so today, Lord, as we think about these thoughts, we pray, Lord, that the mothers here, both spiritual and biological mothers, would be greatly encouraged for their work. Yet it may seem to go unnoticed, but it's not. And you know it is all the work that they do for your honor and for your glory and for your purpose. So, Lord, we just pray that the Holy Spirit would guide us in our thoughts this morning. In the precious name of our living Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, so the thoughts I have this morning are a godly mother's influence, strength, and heart. But let's first think about some fun facts for Mother's Day. Not sure if you're aware that Mother's Day is one of the biggest card-sending holidays. Only Christmas beats Mother's Day in the total cards sent out. Mother's Day was established in the U.S. in 1914 by then-President Woodrow Wilson. In the UK, it's actually called Mothering Sunday, and that's actually not in May, but that's in March. And I'm not sure if you're aware that carnations are the official flower of Mother's Day. Now, there's colors with carnations. So pink is for gratitude, red is for admiration, white is for remembrance. And Mother's Day is the number one holiday for flower sales in many, many countries that celebrate Mother's Day. But about one in four people buy flowers or last-minute gifts, so there's still time, so I will end on time. So if you have not made that purchase, we're going to give you some time to do the right thing. All right. So don't be one of those, okay? The word mom or something like mama appears in almost every language, and it is probably the first word that a newborn baby actually says, and that is striking. Studies show that the simple expressing gratitude to mothers, even a call or a handwritten note, has a strong, positive, emotional impact. So there's just some fun facts about Mother's Day. Well, Mother's Day evokes a wealth of memories, reactions, and feelings. And I think I've done this before, but this means a lot to me. When I think about my grandmothers and my mother who are no longer with us, they're present with the Lord, I think about each one of them on this day. I think about my paternal grandmother, Annie McLaughlin. Annie McLaughlin, born in Scotland, raised in Ireland in 1901. She came to the U.S. at 19 years old as a young girl, and she entered into service in Morris County working for some wealthy families. She came on a ship all by herself at 19 years old. And so she would eventually meet up with my grandfather. They'd be married in about 1934. I don't really know her conversion, but what I do know is that pre-World War II, they actually had a gospel hall in their home in Morristown, New Jersey for a number of years. That then closed down, and they eventually went to the Summit Gospel Hall that I think, Bob, you're aware of, and then eventually they came to Mountain Ridge Bible Chapel around the start of this beginning of this work here. And so I was very, very privileged to have my grandparents with me as a youngster in this building for many, many years. And they're probably, Linda, they're probably the seats right where you're sitting, that's where they sat. They sat the same seats Sunday by Sunday. And I remember my grandmother very, very dearly. She died when I was 12, but I and she was from Morristown where we grew up. And she would come over and babysit quite a bit. And I do remember she loved to sing the hymns in that Irish little accent, a little wee woman here, but she loved to sing the hymns in that Irish accent, and she loved the Lord. I remember very vividly that we used to have a very large Sunday school program on Christmas, the Christmas program. Mrs. Howard was, Beverly's mother, was the director. She was absolutely the director, and what she would do is she would give all the kids some verses to memorize. And I would spend that Sunday in panic trying to learn my verse. And I would say it over and over to my grandmother. She was so generous and so kind. You'll get it, Timmy. You'll get it. So I just remember her so vividly. And then my maternal grandmother, Effie Gertrude Swenson. Now, you know, some of these old names are coming back, you know, nowadays. I don't think Effie Gertrude is ever going to come back. All right, I really don't. I think it's long gone, right? But anyway, she was, her last name was Smith. She was actually the daughter of a blacksmith from Stewiacke, Nova Scotia. And she was the oldest of, I think it was eight siblings. She was born in 1899. She came to the United States, to the state of Maine. She would eventually meet my grandfather there. They would establish a home together. But she wasn't saved until a traveling preacher from Nova Scotia that would come down, dip down into Maine, would come alongside Clark McClellan, and he would share the gospel with my grandmother, her family, and my mother, and my uncle, and my aunt, and they all became saved. And then they went to the Spring Hill Gospel Hall in Westbrook, Maine, and they were there. She was there until she passed away at the age of 95. And I didn't get to see her at Grammy that much because she was up in Maine. We were here in Jersey. We'd go for Thanksgiving and spend a great weekend up there. But I do remember on my graduation from college, she gave me a little Bible, and she just wrote in there, "Love you from Grammy Swenson." And I cherish that even today. And she loved the Lord as well. And then my mom, who's with the Lord now, 13 years ago, she passed away. I can't believe it. She was from Maine, met my father in Boston when he was at school, came down to New Jersey, became an Army wife, and traveled the United States when my father was in service, and then ended up back in Morristown, and eventually ended back here and lived the remainder of her life in this area as well. And even in her disability of Parkinson's, which she had for over 15 plus years, she loved the Lord, she loved the Lord's people, and she loved the hymns as well. And then the big picture is a picture which you can find downstairs. It is the Sunday school picture from, I don't know, 1975 or so. And when I think of biological moms, I think very, very much of spiritual moms. Spiritual moms that had a huge, huge impact on me personally when I was growing up here in the Sunday school. I've already mentioned Betty Howard. She was one of my Sunday school teachers. I loved her. The day that I was saved, and actually I was saved in this room with Uncle Ted Whittle and my father with me. They led me to the Lord. We went to the Howard's home for lunch because they always had someone in their house on Sunday for lunch. And so we went that day, and I walked in that front door. The kitchen was straight ahead, right, Bev? And I told Mrs. Howard, I said, I just got saved. And she gave me the biggest, biggest hug. What a wonderful feeling, a spiritual mom. Anika Tice is one of them, Ethel Grana, even Mary Palmer. You know, I remember these dear, dear ladies who are spiritual moms. And so moms are really, really important, both biological and both spiritual as well. But I'd also say that today can be a day of mixed emotions. Joy, yes, gratitude, maybe loss or disappointment, maybe even unanswered prayers from our own perspective. Maybe there are some very difficult memories that you have of your mothers, memories that we don't really want to dwell on because they may be painful for us to do that, maybe difficult or strained relationships that could have occurred. Maybe some of us are seeing our mother's age in front of us, and they're becoming different people that we knew when we were growing up. And that's hard too, isn't it? Some women want to become mothers, but for one reason or another, they can't. And that's a hard, hard situation as well. And again, I'm just thinking about spiritual moms and what we owe to each one of them. And I just shared with you my Sunday school memories. But you see, Scripture honors motherhood as faithfulness under real conditions, real hard conditions, and not perfection at all. So today we honor mothers, both biological and spiritual, who reflect God's nurturing and caring and sacrificial love. So I want to look at 3 points this morning. I want to look at a mother's influence. I want to look at a mother's strength and a mother's heart. And so let's look together. The verses will be up on the screen. And we're going to be looking at just snippets of verses. So if you want, you can turn to them, but they'll be on the screen as well. So when we think about the impact of motherhood, we think about young Timothy, don't we? So in 2 Timothy 1, verse 5 says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you also. You see, the Apostle Paul points to Timothy's spiritual formation and traces it back, not to a public figure, but to his mother and his grandmother. It was shaped by this, his mother Eunice and grandmother Lois, and they would have had to work out their own lives of faith in front of Timothy on a daily basis. And I would think that Timothy was very observant of that. In the book of Acts, which we've been going through, we see Timothy was well spoken of amongst the believers. And Paul wanted to take young Timothy along on a secondary missionary journey, and Paul would call Timothy his son in the faith. And they would go together on this journey, as we see in Acts chapter 15 through 16, delivering to them the churches, the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and the elders at Jerusalem. You see, Paul recognized young Timothy's faith. It was very apparent to others. He was living out his faith in front of others. But I think we have to be reminded that Timothy did not inherit his faith from his mother or his grandmother. It wasn't in his genes. It wasn't a gift that was bestowed upon him. You see, we have to remember that first Timothy had to know the Lord Jesus Christ first, not given by his mother or his grandmother. And I think growing up sometimes in Christendom or in Christian homes, we can be very comfortable and kind of latch on to our parents' faith and think, oh, we're Christians, we're Christians. I've been brought up in the church. My parents are speak to me in the home of the Lord. We read the scriptures together. But I wonder if those individuals are truly believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So to pause for a moment and say, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? It doesn't matter if your mother, your grandmother, any other relative does. It matters, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. So I ask you today, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you come to him for forgiveness of your sins and asked him to be Lord of your life? If you don't hear anything else today, that's the most important thing you'll hear. And it's not what I say, it's what the Lord himself says. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, no woman, no child comes to the Father except through him. But yet we know that with Timothy, he had a great example in his life. Christ-centered training would have been present in his home. His faith was strengthened in his home, a home where his mother and his grandmother of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, these women laid the foundation of Timothy's knowledge and love of God. Their work of biblical motherhood and grandmotherhood began in the early days of Timothy's young life and continued until he was a grown man. The mere fact that Paul even mentioned these women by name just shows you how much of impact they had on Timothy's spiritual development. So it is good for us to be reminded that God often uses quiet, consistent faith to bring about lasting fruit. And we see this vividly pictured in with Timothy. Timothy's mother and grandmother was a role model. They modeled their faith in front of Timothy. It was displayed and lived before their very next generation. See, faith is recognizable and influential. Genuine faith tends to show itself in character, actions, and consistency. Faith is lived out in faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ and his word. You see, trusting the Lord in uncertainty. You see, obeying even when it's difficult. Loving others sacrificially. Maintaining spiritual integrity, practicing gratitude and contentment, whatever the circumstances are, and demonstrating faith through action. So faith is lived out in faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, let us never underestimate the faithfulness of godly mothers, both biological and spiritual. Spiritual moms have a tremendous opportunity to help out in the spiritual development of our children. You hear the pitter-patter of these little feet in this room and downstairs. You see young people that are growing up and maturing and going from grammar school to high school. My friends, in this church, what are we doing about them? Are we becoming spiritual mothers and fathers to them? Are we taking an interest in them by name? Are we knowing what they're doing and helping to encourage them to come to know Jesus Christ and then to continue on in the faith? Church, we have a responsibility for that. We have a responsibility. And what are we, each one of us, doing? You can't leave it to somebody else. What are you doing about it? What am I doing about it? Mothers, your everyday obedience and faithfulness to the Lord matters more than you realize. Don't underestimate that. Even when there's really, really hard days, and moms, there's a lot of hard days, never underestimate the obedience and faithfulness to your Lord. It really does matter. And then church, body, believers, friends, let us never underestimate the power of godly spiritual influence in our own homes, and in this local body of gathering here that we call Mountain Ridge Bible Chapel. Next, let's think about God's definition of strength, which is obviously different than the world. Just a couple of verses here from Proverbs 31. We know that as the virtuous wife or the noble wife chapter. Proverbs 31, 25 says this, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. This says here that this is a woman who is strong and dignified and has so much peace that she can laugh at the future without worry or without fear. Metaphorically, her appearance is one of strength and dignity. This woman is no weakling, my friends. Here is a woman to be looked up to. She has not lost any of herself by being a wife or a mother. She is still strong and dignified and not afraid of what the future holds. And she can face the future with confidence. Scriptures continue down in Proverbs 31, verse 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, the woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. You see, the secret is her godly character. Her physical qualities will never last. And that's true for each one of us. They won't last. But her fear of the Lord, as it says, the fear of the Lord is to be praised. And for the godly mother, this verse really is very, very appropriate and encouraging. We know it. It's at the bottom there. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. You know, strength comes from depending on God, knowing that our strength, our personal strength, is absolutely insufficient. Strength is not the absence of fear. It is choosing to rely solely on God, despite the uncertainty. To know that his sovereign will in all circumstances is there, and to trust his sovereign will, even when it's really, really hard. Strength is shown when you act in faith, not just when you feel confident in yourself. And the truth is, strength is not about doing everything. It's about trusting God in everything. Mothers, remember, you are not called to be flawless, but faithful. What does God's strength look like? Looks like peace in uncertainty. It looks like endurance in hardships. It looks like courage to act in faith. A steady confidence in our sovereign Lord Jesus Christ, which is diametrically opposed to our world's view. Let me just give you a couple simple illustrations. Think about this, and this is, if you're a mom, you'll think about this, and even a dad, you'll think about this if you have children, and thinking about them taking steps. Think about the toddler that takes uncertain steps, that's wobbling as they're trying to walk, but keeps moving forward because they trust a parent who is standing in front of them with their open arms. That's a really nice visual. Think about your own experience. Think about that as coming, keep going, stumbling, maybe tipping over a little bit, but you see our Heavenly Father, arms open, arms wide, saying, come to me, come to me. How about the mountain climber with a rope? A climber takes bold steps because they are securely tied to a strong anchor point. My friend, is that anchor point the Lord Jesus Christ in your life? Is that anchor point him? Yes, yes or no? But when the Lord Jesus Christ is the anchor point, he will hold. He will hold. I know sometimes it doesn't seem that way. And I know sometimes it seems, what is going on? This rope is going to fray and it's going to just collapse. He will hold you. He will hold you. His arms are wide open. Come to me. This verse, 2 Corinthians 12:9, I think it bears repeating. My grace is sufficient for you. Anytime, any place, anywhere, any day. For my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Let's think then about God, how he reveals his heart through a mother's love. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 13. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. God intentionally uses maternal imagery to describe his compassion and his faithfulness. The image of a mother's care is one of the most intimate, gentle, reassuring forms of comfort, and is used by God, how God demonstrates his care and his love for his people. Reflection is that God's strength is not only powerful, because it is, but it's also compassionate, it's also restorative, and it's also very, very close, even when he seems so far away. This final chapter, 66 of this book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, focuses on restoration and hope and God's future promise to his people after a very, very long period of judgment and hardship. From judgment due to rebellion and idolatry, then comes chapter 66, and it shifts to hope, renewal, and comfort in fulfillment of God's covenant blessings. Isaiah 66, verse 13, comes in a context of restoration after hardship. It assures the people that their suffering is not at the end, that God will personally comfort them, and God will restore them in their nation. You see, after judgment and pain, God brings deep, personal comfort and renewal. And this is likened to a loving mother who comforts. And the verse says, so I will comfort you. While God's love is, yes, it's holy, includes judgment and discipline, it is very much nurturing, protective, patient, oh, and steadfast. And at the same time, God's comfort is always, it's always personal, and it's always present at the time you need it. Mothers, it is beautiful to witness how God's divine love is reflected in a mother's care. Your motherly comfort and affection are personal, and your mother's love is always present. I'd like to encourage you with some quotes that I think are quite helpful. And I'll just read them as we move along here together. A spiritual mother nurtures souls the way others nurture bodies, through prayer and wisdom and enduring love. Spiritual motherhood is not defined by biology, but by the lives you guide closer to God. What a privilege. What a privilege as a biological or a spiritual mother to guide lives closer to God. Mothers, you have a unique sense of way with people and children. God has ordained that, has put that in you. And you have that real unique privilege to guide people closer to God. A spiritual mother plants seeds of faith that can blossom for generations. Oh, that we desire that our children and that our grandchildren come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior for generations to come. And you think, maybe how did that start? How did that start? It may have started just with a faithful mother, a faithful grandmother, loving the Lord Jesus Christ and embodying that in their personal life in front of their children or their grandchildren, but blooming for generations to come. How about her legacy is not written in years, but in hearts transformed? Mothers, are you helping to transform hearts today? Hearts for the love of the Lord Jesus Christ? Hearts for the love of the gospel? Hearts that love the word of God? You have a unique opportunity. Spiritual mothers just don't teach truth. They live it, they model it, and they also do pass it on. We saw that already with Timothy and his mother and his grandmother. And then motherhood, rather biological or spiritual, is sacred work. Do you see it that way? Often unseen, sometimes unthanked, but my friend, always noticed by God. You are making a difference. Even when you don't get thanked for it, even when you go unnoticed, even when there's a chaos in the home or something else that takes your time, it's always, always noticed by God. And so I'd like just to share in closing a poem. It's called My Mother, My Loving Mother. I've used this before, but I just really think it's very appropriate. My mother, your love I know, I've seen your tears. You've given to me life. You've walked through hours and days and years of heartache, toil, and strife to see that I could have had the best that you could give to me. You gave up needs and often rest. You viewed eternity. To do his will, my highest call, and by your special care, I stood and walked and did not fall. You held me up in prayer. Through strands of gray may brush your hair, and miles divide our way. I know that by your quiet prayer, you've helped me day by day. You show me how to give, to share, to put my own needs last. You've helped me to see and to be aware that life is soon so past. Despite your love, I would not dare, for there's not another who spreads her gentle, loving care like you, my loving mother. My friend, if your mother is around today, love her. For those that have mothers that are gone now, we just have the memories. And children, if you're here today, think about all that your mother means to you or should mean to you and what they have done for you and what they have given and sacrificed for you. I think about the heart of a mother. I think about the strength of a mother. I think about the true influence of a mother, of a godly mother. And so I want you to be encouraged. I want you today to know that you have influenced many for good and for godliness, godly mothers. Your strength comes from the Lord, and your strength is perfected in your weakness. And you have a heart that shows God's true divine comfort and care. And this verse up here, verse 31 of Proverbs, her children rise up and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praises her. Mothers, thank you for what you do. Thank you for who you are. Continue the fight, continue the work, even when it goes unnoticed, because our Heavenly Father notices. And you are very extremely important to them, to him, as well as each one of us. So I pray that you are encouraged by these thoughts this morning. And I pray that the Lord Jesus Christ is magnified. And again, if you are here today and do not know our Lord and Savior, as Lord and Savior, that you have sins forgiven, that you know you have a place in eternity with him, this verse, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Let's pray. Our gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you and we value our mothers. We thank you for the purpose of mothers. We thank you for the gifts that you've given to our mothers. We are reflecting on memories now as well. And Lord, we look back with fondness of our mothers. We're thankful for our biological and our spiritual mothers. Lord, we just thank you for their influence. We pray and we thank you for their strength. Not their strength, but your strength, perfected in weakness. And we thank you, Lord, for their heart. A heart that is on you, Lord, and a heart that then transpires on to each one of us, Lord, as well. And so, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your wonderful salvation. Again, we pray, if anyone here does not know you as Lord and Savior, that today is the day of salvation. As you knock, they will allow you to come in and to enter into their hearts, Lord, and be Lord and Savior of their lives. Lord, we just pray that you would just part us with your blessing. We pray all these things in the perfect, the matchless, and the most powerful name of our living Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. And all we say is, amen.